Ohio lawmakers are busy wrapping up work before the end of the year, and their agenda is packed with bills that could change public education, including new graduation requirements, religious conversations in the classroom, and a fetal development video. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to break down the legislation and how it could change Ohio classrooms are Ohio Federation of Teachers President Melissa Cropper and Ohio Capital Journal reporter Megan Henry. Thank you both for being here today.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having us.
Megan, we've got a lot of bills to talk about today. Does it seem like there's more legislation related to public education than usual?
There is certainly quite a lot, and education typically has been a very pressing topic for the legislators the past several years. But it does seem that there's been quite a few bills, maybe more than normal, that do intersect education bills intersect with religion in the classroom. So, yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, Melissa, do you see a common thread that ties these efforts together?
Well, yes, certainly special interest groups such as the Center for Christian Virtue has been driving a lot of the legislation that impacts many of the bills that we're seeing pop up. So I think that's why we're seeing more bills than we've seen in the past, because there are a lot of bills that are specific to religion, Christianity, et cetera, that we haven't necessarily had to deal with in the past.
Hmm. Well, Megan, you both referenced how there have been more efforts to get more discussion of religion into the classroom. First, tell us about the Charlie Kirk American Heritage Act. What would that bill do, and where does it stand in the legislative process?
Yes, that bill has moved pretty quickly, as have a lot of these bills, really. Basically, this bill would allow public schools and public universities to teach the positive impacts of Judeo-Christian religion on American history in schools. So this bill was introduced after Charlie Kirk was killed back in September. And initially, the bill just included Christianity. And so in committee, that was expanded to Judeo-Christian religion. So basically, it would just, allow the positive impacts to be spoken about in classrooms. This bill passed the House a couple of weeks ago, and so now it moves on to the Ohio Senate for consideration.
Melissa, has the Ohio Federation of Teachers taken a stand on this legislation? And I guess I'm wondering, is there any of this content that's being taught in public schools already?
Well, teachers can already teach about the historical importance of things that have happened. And if that includes some kind of Christian aspect, then of course it can be spoken about in a historical context. We currently have taken an interested party position on it, and we're going to continue to look at it more closely. Our concern is that, there are multiple concerns. One, that it focuses on Judeo-Christian values and at the exclusion of other religious values that are out there. But also, it does open the door to proselytizing, to inserting religion in a way that's not just necessarily in a historical context. And if we are going to be fair about it, to say to only teach the positive aspects that Christianity has had on our history, leaves out that there have also been some negative impacts at times too. Not everything that has happened has always been positive. So I think we think it's an unnecessary bill. We think that it doesn't add anything positive to what can already happen in classrooms, but can open the door to a lot of negative things happening.
And Megan, just to be clear, you referenced that this is talking about the positive aspects of Judeo-Christian religions, so it does not open the door for other kinds of religions, the positive impacts of those other kinds of other religions?
Correct. As the bill is currently written, it only limits it to the Judeo-Christian. Now, like I mentioned, initially just mentioned Christianity, and the scope of the bill had been broadened during committee. So who knows what will happen over in the Senate. Maybe it'll be attempts to try to broaden it as well. But as of right now, it only is limited to certain religions.
Okay. Well, we are talking about bills that could change public education in Ohio. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Megan, there's also a Senate bill that would require public schools to display documents in classrooms, and one of those documents that could be displayed is the Ten Commandments. Tell us what that legislation's about.
Yes, this bill could potentially allow Ten Commandments being displayed in public classrooms. Now, this bill is part of a bill that would basically display historic texts in classrooms, and that would one of those texts could be the Ten Commandments, as well as other documents, including the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Articles of Confederation. The Ten Commandments has definitely had the most attention drawn to this part of the bill.
And as I understand it, the bill includes a list of documents and it would require teachers to display a certain number on that list. Is that right?
Yes. So there are 9 documents that are listed in the text of the bill, and school districts would have to choose 4 of them. So it could be that a district does not choose the Ten Commandments, that is one of the documents that that could be up for choosing.
Melissa, what do teachers think about this list of documents? I guess I wonder, are any of those already commonly displayed in classrooms?
Absolutely. We were talking about this includes like the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Magna Carta. These are things that are already taught in our history classes and often are displayed. Again, the inclusion of the Ten Commandments is something that gives us pause, and it's not. And the bill goes a little bit further to say that you can accept money from outside groups to also build permanent, like a statue or something that could be displayed in the school in a more permanent way than just a document hanging on the wall. So again, it's this insertion of Christian religion into our school systems that can be problematic for people who are from different religions, et cetera. And so our history teachers already teach most of those, 8 of those 9 documents as it is, and often do display those already. So it's another unnecessary bill that's focusing on issues that really do nothing to help students achieve better.
Well, another piece of legislation would require showing students videos such as the Baby Olivia video.
This is the moment that life begins. A new human being has come into existence. At fertilization, her gender, ethnicity, hair color, eye color, and countless traits are already determined.
Megan, tell us more about House Bill 485.
Yes, this bill is also known as the Enact Baby Olivia Act, and it would require schools to show either the Baby Olivia Act, which you just played a small clip of, or a similar video to students every year starting in 5th grade all the way up through 12th grade, starting with the next school year. And it would also require showing students an ultrasound video at least 3 minutes long. Now, initially when this bill was introduced back in the fall, it required grades 3 through 12 to watch it, and so the bill has been changed to limit it to 5th grade all the way up to senior in high school. That's been quite a bit of contention and conversation has been around what grades should watch this video, with some Democrats saying that this should only be, if it's going to be shown, it should be shown only to high schoolers. But as it currently stands, the bill says 5th through 12th grade.
Well, Megan, tell us a little bit more about the arguments that are being made by supporters of this video, why they think it's important for students to see this video. And I know there was also testimony criticizing this video as inaccurate. Could you talk to us about that too?
Sure. Yeah, the Meet Baby Olivia video, it was produced by Live Action, which advocates against abortion. Planned Parenthood calls the Baby Olivia video inaccurate, misleading, manipulative. They also note that the video counts the embryo's age of conception, which doctors do not do, and has just like a myriad of claims that some doctors and Planned Parenthood say are false. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists also has issues with the bill, saying that it shows the gestational age 2 weeks earlier than it starts and shows fetal development as more advanced than it is. So that has been some of the opposition around it. Some of the support around the bill says that, it's scientifically accurate and provides a unique view of fetal development. So that is kind of where the controversy from the bill stems from.
Melissa, if this bill were to become state law, what impact would it have on teachers, on schools? I understand there is an opt-out provision for parents with this.
Well, there is an opt-out provision, but I think our biggest problem with this is that we don't have health standards in the state of Ohio. So again, this is another example of an outside special interest group trying to force their belief system into a school system, absent of standards that could actually help our children in a lot of ways. If we had health standards in Ohio, then we could cover things such as gestational life of a child, and also like how to take care of your own body, how to handle, we could include sex ed into that kind of conversation. But even beyond, not going that far, if we had health standards where we actually were teaching kids accurate information, accurate scientific information about their bodies, about how to deal with their bodies, about how to stay healthy, and include in that gestational life of a child, great. But again, this is something that's just thrown in by a special interest group that leaves out a lot of information and is considered inaccurate by a lot of experts.
And Melissa, when you say the state doesn't have health standards, you mean there are no standards for what a health class should teach? I mean, not just sex education, but no health, no
Correct.
standards for a health class?
Correct. Ohio is one of the very few states, and maybe the only state now, who does not have health standards for health curriculum, health standards for our K through 12 students. And that's a, we've been trying for years to get health standards incorporated into Ohio for reasons such as this, because we there's a lot of things, a lot of health issues that need to be addressed in schools. But we don't have them. There's always been, there's always been pushback on implementing this kind of standards or developing this kind of standards. So that's what makes this especially egregious to us, that the legislature is choosing one small piece of health to mandate be included in fifth through 12th grade classrooms without even providing health standards for all the other issues that our children have to face.
Well, we will continue this conversation after a short break, and later in the program, we discuss the changes in federal and state hemp laws. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about bills state lawmakers are considering that could change public education in Ohio. My guests are Ohio Federation of Teachers President Melissa Cropper and Ohio Capital Journal reporter Megan Henry. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk at wvxu.org. Megan, we talked previously on our show about a Senate bill that would require schools to teach something called the success sequence. Can you remind us what that is and tell us where that bill stands?
Yes. So the success sequence is basically something that teaches students to graduate high school, get a job, and get married in that order before having a baby. That is what is known as the success sequence. And this is a bill that passed in the Senate recently and is now in the House. I believe it has had one hearing so far in the House. Now this bill would require the Ohio Department of Education and Workforce to create model curriculum for the success sequence for grades 6 through 12, and then this would be a graduation requirement.
Melissa, what do you think of that bill? I mean, the fact that this would be a graduation requirement if it becomes law.
Well, we have been teaching children for decades that it's important to graduate from high school and to get a job. Those two pieces of it are nothing new. Our problem is we don't know what exactly will be included in this success sequence curriculum that's developed. And a lot of emphasis has been put on that last piece, getting married before you have children, when the success sequence group's own information shows that the most two important pieces are graduation and getting a good job. So instead of developing a new model curriculum around this, what we need to be doing is focusing on how do we make school more relevant for students? How do we give them more exposure to career pathways? How do we, by the way, teach them about unions and collective bargaining? Because success also, you know, statistics also show that when you have a good union job, you get good pay, good benefits, a retirement plan, et cetera. So there's a lot that's left out of this bill, simplifying education and success down to graduating, getting a job, and getting married before having children is oversimplifying education in this state.
Okay, we did get an email from a listener, Deborah, who is a professor emerita at Miami University in Oxford. Deborah writes, I want to comment on the bill promoting Judeo-Christian values in schools. Aside from all the other problems with the bill, use of this term is deeply offensive to Jews because it subsumes Jewish religion and cultural traditions to Christian ones, reinforcing the idea that Christianity replaces and improves on Judaism. Scholars of religion no longer use this term, and neither should our lawmakers. So that is Deborah's thought on that discussion. Megan, last month, the Ohio Senate unanimously passed an academic intervention bill. What would that bill require?
Yeah, this bill does a lot. It started off initially as a math intervention bill, and that is still included in the bill, and I can touch on that quickly. Basically, it would require school districts or individual schools to come up with a math achievement improvement plan if 51% or less of the district or an individual school's students who took the third grade math achievement assessment scored at least a proficient score on the assessment. Now, this is the state assessment that the state does for various subjects, including math. And so it would provide academic supports for math, but it would also do, it was in committee, it was expanded to be an overall academic intervention bill. And so it was broadened to also have interventions for English language arts as well if students are performing at a, I believe it, if students score at a limited proficiency in math and English language arts on these state tests and limited proficiency is one of the five levels, and basically some of these interventions could include high dosage tutoring at least a few days a week, additional instruction time, and also an extended school calendar. And the bill does say that the interventions would have to be evidence-based, and it sounds like they could districts and schools could pick from the suggested interventions.
And this, as I mentioned, this passed unanimously in the Senate, which means Democrats and Republicans supported it, right, Megan?
Correct. Yeah, it has bipartisan support in the Senate. It is a Republican bill. Senator Andrew Brenner introduced it. But yeah, it has bipartisan support in the Senate. And so now it'll go over to the House for them to consider. And that will likely take place after the holidays.
Melissa, what do you think about that? On the surface, that certainly sounds like a positive move for students. I guess I wonder if there's any word on how that extra help would be funded.
Well, right, that's a concern. I want to start by saying that of all the bills we've talked about today, this is the only one that actually addresses real issues in our schools. And so from that perspective, we're glad to have conversation about it with legislators and see this as a way of what can we do best for our students. Our concerns, as you pointed out, are all these extra interventions and everything does require more funding, and we have a school funding crisis. Also, you know, we've had a major overhaul in literacy in the past few years in the state, and our teachers are still getting the professional development around that, still trying to implement that with fidelity. And so it's a lot of there's a lot of things coming at once. And our preference would be that we take our time and make sure that we're doing really well at the changes within the literacy pieces before we take on other major overhauls. But obviously, math and other subjects are important also. So what are the steps we can take to put things in place without making too many changes and overburdening too many people at the same time? but also doing what's in the best interest of our students. So we are working with legislators on this and taking a serious look at this bill.
And Melissa, has there been any talk about funding in those conversations you're having with lawmakers?
Well, we always bring up funding around these issues. It's unfortunate that we didn't finish out the fair school funding bill within the state. And of course, now we're also having, you know, conversations about property taxes and how that impacts schools. So it's very, very difficult to have any conversation about major changes to education without having a conversation about funding too, and how are we going to fund these changes and these initiatives. Mm-hmm.
Well, Melissa, another proposed bill would remove a requirement that children attending childcare facilities or preschool, the requirement that they get the hepatitis B vaccine. It also would prevent public schools from keeping out unvaccinated students if outbreaks of disease occur. What are you hearing from teachers about that proposal?
Well, this bill we have not actually had a conversation with our membership about yet, so we need to have more conversation. But obviously, we like to follow the science. We want to make sure that both teachers and students are safe and protected. So my gut instinct is that we will have concerns about this bill, but I still need to talk with membership more about the position that we want to take on this bill before I make a public comment about it.
Fair enough. Megan, what are the goals of that piece of legislation?
Yes, this is a newer bill. Doesn't seem like it has had any hearings so far, but basically from the bill sponsors, and I should note that one of the authors of this bill, Rep. Melanie Miller, is the same person who is behind the Baby Olivia Act as well. They wrote that one of the main goals of the bill is to underscore medical religious exemptions that already exist in Ohio law with regard to vaccines. So they're arguing, her and State Rep. Monica Robb Blaisdell are arguing that the bill is about transparency and fairness. But obviously there's lots of concern from from folks when it comes to anything that would limit vaccines in these environments such as schools and childcare.
Yeah. Megan, we have talked about so many bills in this conversation. Do you have any sense for how much of this legislation could get passed by both chambers, either before the end of the year or even by the end of the session? Because the session goes into next year, right?
Correct. Yeah. So for the Ohio's General Assembly, the way it works, we're at kind of the halfway point. At the end of the 2025 is like the midway point. Yes, it'll go through the end of 2026. And so it's highly unlikely that any of these bills will pass before the holidays. The Senate has session next week, but the House, I don't believe they are going to come back until next year. So as far as bills passing and becoming law, it's kind of unclear at this point. There's lots of momentum clearly with a lot of them passing in one chamber and going over to the other chamber, and so we'll just kind of see how that plays out. But they could possibly all pass and go onto Governor DeWine's desk, or there could be hiccups along the way that prevent that from happening. So we'll stay tuned and continue to report on these bills.
Yeah, still plenty of time left in the session. We do have a caller on the line. Hi, Ben. Thanks so much for your call. What's your question or comment?
Hi. I guess it's a little bit of both. I'm a Christian, and in general, pretty much across the board, believe in the separation of church and state. I don't think that moral type issues can really be forced or legislated or sort of mandated, especially in public education. But I would be curious to know, would it be a good idea for such a controversial issue such as abortion versus pro-life, since it's been such a long-term argument, would it be a good idea to sort of educate high schoolers or whatever appropriate age so that when they do go out, into the world, they're not slammed with inaccurate information, and try to bring the gap between those sides a little closer? Is that possible?
Well, thank you, Ben. I appreciate that. Has there been any talk of that in the legislature, Megan? I know we've talked about, you know, some of these different, this Baby Olivia video that was produced by a group that is anti-abortion rights. Has there been any talk about any kind of holistic education about, you know, such a divisive topic as abortion to relate all the different facets of that?
It's a good question. Not that I'm aware of that I've reported on. I don't know if Melissa, if there's something that I'm missing.
So in the past, this goes back to the what I was saying before about not having health standards, and that health standards could encompass a topic like that. And in the past, and it hasn't been recent past, but in the distant past, when we brought up health standards, they were always shot down because people in the legislature did not want to discuss issues like this and did not want any kind of sex education being brought into the state unless it was teaching abstinence only. So unfortunately, I mean, I totally agree with the caller that we should be teaching our children about their bodies and about how their bodies function and about the development of a baby and all these different things so that they can make wise choices. But it should be done in a way that is scientifically factual and in the context of health standards. And absent those health standards, to just drop in a video that is not even considered scientifically accurate by a lot of experts is not the route to go.
Well, Ben, thanks so much for that thoughtful question. It sounds like you maybe might want to get in touch with a state lawmaker and have more conversation about that. I've been talking with Ohio Federation of Teachers President Melissa Cropper and Ohio Capital Journal reporter Megan Henry. Thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, we break down the changes in state and federal hemp laws. This is Cincinnati Edition.